Welcome to another segment of Market Overdrive. I am your host, residential real estate broker with Coldwell Banker. My name is Carla Mina. It is an amazing Thursday afternoon, except when I look to my right and he's still here.
Smiling away, here to rain hell on your life.
Is that what you're
it's
here
my
for?
Job.
That's your purpose in life?
It's the only thing I'm allowed
How
for.
Are you, Mehmeti?
I'm feeling good. How you doing?
Doing outstanding. It is Thursday. We're thriving. Properties are still hot. The market is still hot. Everything is selling. How's the market?
I agree.
You agree?
It's pretty simple. It's still steady, still moving. Doesn't look like a slowdown yet. I know people have been talking about it, but I haven't felt it. I haven't seen it. The applications are coming in the same exact way. So, you know, let's
You're saying exactly what I told you earlier. Can you please stop calling me for real estate advice?
I have never once in my life called you for any advice.
I need you to
real
stop
estate,
calling me
personal,
for real estate advice.
Nothing. I always call you for one reason and one reason only.
What is that? To get on my nerves?
To yell at you just because I am bored and I need something to do.
I'm sure you have a huge staff at the office that you can yell at and you can leave me alone. But today is D-Day.
It is D-Day.
What's going on with the Mod Squad?
Today, we are announcing a new permanent co-host.
We're growing.
We are growing. we are adding a special person who is not only obviously qualified to be an official co-host on the Mod Squad, but more importantly, he has been, I think he's got the record number of trip visits to Market Overdrive
and
over the last 2.5 years.
And he didn't think twice.
No, he didn't flinch. Like, he's like, yeah, I'm ready for this. He actually was already a co-host, I think, because he's been here so many times on so many different occasions. So I want to introduce...
Crazy?
I want to introduce Mo Dodka of Dodka Law.
Law and Main Street Real Estate.
And Main Street Real Estate. And obviously introduce you again for the 1,000th time because you've been on the show. And we're happy to have you back. And more importantly, we're obviously happy to have you on the show with us permanently here or until you can't tolerate Carla, which is probably going to happen quickly. But, you know, like I said.
I think you should scratch that because the only reason he is here, in fact, is because of me.
Look at that. Thank
wow.
you, Carla.
You didn't read the side text. It's all good, Mo.
There's a side text on the
Mod
thread. I don't appreciate that.
No, I appreciate you guys having me on. He got my name right the first time I was on the show.
What did he call
you? The first time I called him Alex.
Alex?
The whole show.
And I'm the one who messes up people's names. I just wanted to go on record.
That's the only time I actually messed up a name.
I don't think so. I think I can draw a poll and I'll have guests tell me that you always mess up people's
names. He pronounced my last name right, too, because everybody butchers that. It's like vodka with a D.
How can he not? Do you know his name? What's your name? Neveras, Mehmeti.
Can we move on?
We couldn't launch Mo's co-hosting our show without bringing in one of our favorite viewers, number one fan, actually. I think George has been listening to our show since we were on the AM560 family and now here. Welcome, George.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
And George is a newly found client. Am I going to be listing that property pretty soon? That's what I do. This is how I close business.
Go right in.
Can I get that listing agreement signed before
I'm
we
really,
go on the show?
I'm working on all the things you asked me to work on. So,
that's not good.
It's a hot neighborhood.
She made you a number one fan.
Yeah, she made me the number one fan.
So every number one fan normally brings us cookies and stuff like that. I mean, did you bring cookies?
She didn't tell me.
No, Carla.
But I got
it's all good. Man.
I got the business. So can you relax right now? You're killing the
business. We're dieting. Don't worry about it. I'm just kidding.
You're dieting. I'm not. Cookies, please.
So give us some background. You want to go with George first or you want to start with Mo?
Let's start with Mr. Mo here.
Mo, you got a big background. You're pretty fluent in two different careers here. So tell us a little bit about your stuff so we can get everybody acquainted with them.
Cool. Yeah, I'm a licensed realtor, and I own a real estate company, Main Street Real Estate Group, but also a law firm. I started off as an attorney, got out of law school in 2009. Job offers were really tough. Mm-hmm. So I got a broker's license to help make ends meet, so I had two jobs. One thing led to another, and now we're here.
So you went from one bad job to another bad job, figuring two bad jobs might make a normal job.
Two bad jobs made a good job.
All right. Nice.
Yeah, made it right. So I'm excited to be on. I think we're doing that Ask Mo, which is very brave of Carla.
You like
that? Some
of
my friends can be cruel.
Ask
so
Mo.
So I'm waiting to see some of these questions come in, but I'm excited to be a part of the Mod Squad.
So first reaction.
My name is Mo and my last name is D, so my initials are really Mo D, so it works perfect with the Mod Squad.
I love it. Oh, you have to love that.
This was meant to be.
You just have to keep having Nick's picture this next to mine because it just looks like he's staring.
Why would you do that?
Because if you look at the advertisement, it just looks like he's staring at me intently.
Right. I'm gazing in Mo's ear.
None of that, please. I already had it with
Anyway,
fans.
So I think one question that people are watching, they know that you're a lawyer and you're obviously an owner of a real estate brokerage. Which one do you feel, do you equally split the job, if you will, or do you feel like you kind of skew towards one more than the other? Or?
So my day-to-day job really is helping coach and train the real estate brokers in our office and be a realtor. I do go to court. I'm still a practicing attorney. I do closings as an attorney. We have an attorney in our law firm, Tim Asimos, who's awesome. Carla works with him a lot.
Tim is unbelievable. I could text him right now, and I assure you he'll pick up. And that's what it takes to get
deals done. Probably the only guy in the world that'll pick up to you.
He's He's amazing, and he does 95% of our closings. So we do a lot of real estate closings, tax appeals. We do building court stuff, foreclosure defense work. So a variety of stuff. But Tim does a lot of our day-to-day running to and from court so that I can help real estate agents grow their business.
So going into you or your office at Main Street, it's pretty much, you know, I hate the term one-stop shop, but they literally can. If they have some of those legal questions, you got you right there in the building.
Yeah, so that's we want it to be that way. So real estate is, to get licensed as a realtor, it's an 8-week course. You get licensed, and then you're like, now what? What do I do? So we built Main Street Real Estate Group really around the coaching and training so that we have a versatile group of coaches and trainers. So if there's a question, we know we can answer it. Or we have somebody on staff or somebody we can call who can answer it. Whether it be marketing, legal, how to sell a property. Hand-holding is a negative connotation, but we like to hold people's hands until they know what they're doing and just keep coming back to them to develop their businesses.
And that's why today I decided to extend that to our Market Overdrive audience. So if you're interested in, you know, asking Mo a question, we called it Ask Mo, and you can call us at 312-521-8589. We'll be live so you can answer all your questions. Either you can call us or you can also add them on Facebook, and Mr. Mehmeti's going to be reading those. Are you going to be reading those?
Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, podcast, WGN Radio Family, the whole nine yards, and of course you can go to our website.
Just want to make sure that you can multitask. You know,
Twitter.
You know.
Yep. I got it all. I got a question.
Yes.
You know, we can't let the show go with a new host without giving him a little bit of roasting here and there. We got to give him something. Otherwise,
roast
not officially one of us.
So
the first question is, law school. How long did it take you to go through law school?
3 years.
3 years?
Yes.
And what online course did you take for that law school? And how much did you pay someone to sit on that online course and pass you as a lawyer?
I got one of those little fake diplomas. I did an 8-week course for my law degree, too, just like the real estate.
I love you, Mo. Right, you're right. Such a trooper.
We'll let that be the only roast for now, and we'll find some more along the way. But
can you behave?
What?
Can you just be nice, like one day?
I'm totally nice. Me and Mo get along.
He's such a sweetheart. Look at that face.
That was mild. That was soft.
He's going to roast me? Yeah. I was expecting worse.
Don't worry. The good stuff's coming.
Why are you letting it happen? Is what I'm asking.
He's building up to it.
But I take it, too, in return.
Yeah.
Wait, that didn't sound good. you know what I mean.
Take it on the mat. I want to see this wrestle thing.
We're not wrestling. We're talking.
Oh, come on. That would be so awesome. I just thought about something. Definitely. Let's do a Mod Squad wrestle throwdown. Can you? I want to see this. Oh, my God. You're going to get sold on. I have to see this. Please let this man in pain. Put him in pain. Please. I'm begging you.
Really?
I got 100 on it.
Right.
What about we train you to have a wrestling match?
Are you kidding me? Let's.
We'll
100%.
Yes. Yeah. Weighing in at 65 pounds.
120.
Ask Mo. Call 312-521-8589. Again, 312-521-8589. And go ahead and fire away. Apparently, Mo can handle a bunch of questions, not just real estate, but also legal questions.
And friends, beware. We're going to screen your calls. Just kidding.
No, we're not.
I think Mo's a little
fire
scared
away.
His friends were going to be calling.
Listen,
fire
I
away.
Was doing a little Facebook live chat a while back, and I just opened it up to questions, and I got quite a wide variety of questions, but they're usually pretty funny.
Yeah.
You can ask me about real estate, law, race cars, wrestling, grappling.
Well, funny or whatever you'd like to say, real estate is still very real, and a lot of people are still transacting. It is fourth quarter, and a lot of what people are wondering, okay, what do we do now? We've always talked about like summertime being the height of the market. So where are we now? What do you think? Has the market softened? What are you advising your clients?
You know, honestly, yes. The winter slows down a little bit, but it's not as extreme as people think. The spring market's the strongest market. It's the busiest market, and it's just supply and demand. You have more buyers out there. But the last couple winters, at least in Chicago, have been mild. So I haven't seen a huge decrease in business in the winters. And again, with that decrease in buyers, sometimes you have a decrease in listing. So you might not be competing with 10 people in the neighborhood to list your home. There might be two or three. So it really depends, and it depends on your circumstance. If you have to sell, I would say don't take your listing off just because it's winter, be cognizant of the fact that there might be less traffic, but you have less competition as well. I think the market has, it stayed pretty strong. You know, you get, I think Nick mentioned, people keep saying the market's going to crash or the market's going to soften. Markets go up and they go down and they go back up again. I don't think the precursors to create a crash are there anymore. I do a lot of foreclosure defense work. And Nick will tell you, it's tough to get a loan when it comes to the application process. Now, back in the day, right, you had a pulse and you said you make X amount of dollars, they would take your word for it, give you a loan. You have to go through a pretty intricate process now. So the precursors to give people bad loans and cause a crash like we had, I don't think it's there.
I mean, we used to have loan programs that were no money down. Like, they're literally not only no money down to buy a house you're going to live in owner occupied, but you could have went no money down to buy an investment house, an investment property, a four unit with no money down. So when you have nothing to lose other than a couple dings on your credit report, which we all know after a couple of years is long past your concerns and you're back to a good credit score anyways, then what would be your incentive to hold on to a property? So those things have been built in. You're not buying an investment property anymore with no money down. Right. It's very hard to even buy one with less than 10% down. 3% is a minimal on a lot of these products nowadays for owner occupancy, but I think by forcing people to put something in a game or into the transaction, it's giving them a little bit more reluctancy. More importantly, though, appraisals are managed differently. Yes. Underwriting's managed differently. We're not so lenient. Well, I shouldn't say we're not as lenient as we used to be with certain little things. We actually do a little bit deeper digging and finding the truth to a story. Where before we're like, oh, you got a lease on that property? Yeah, we believe you. Now we need to verify that there's really rent roll. There's other things going on. You can't just write letters of explanations and get loans approved. So the every market, like you said, Mo, has recession, has an increase and a downfall here and there. But a crash is a word that I agree with you on that. It's going to be.
And we're not calling it a crash, right? We're calling it a
correction. Yeah. No, no. I mean, you get the doomsday people calling for a crash. I've had this argument a couple times recently where I'm like, you're flat out wrong. It's not going to happen. But markets go up, they go down, they cool off. Any market that just continuously goes up, that's a dangerous thing, too. You have to expect a cool down at some point or another. Right.
And that's why we want to make sure that you understand what's happening in the market. Real estate is going to continue to thrive. Real estate is going to continue to appreciate or not. But we're just here to advise you as to what to do strategically, right? So if you're saying the market is not going to soften, it's going to stay very steady, there's still that, you know, like you said, a lot of people are not buying anymore. It depends on what category you're in. Like the single family category, for sure, it's going to kind of be a little soft. But you're talking about condos and two flats. Two flats are still very active. Everybody's still shopping for two flats, regardless of the location, I found. Everybody's looking for cap rates, of course, and you kind of buy and sell those differently than you will condo and single family. But understanding the trends and knowing those is how you're going to be able to either sell or buy property. If you're looking to sell something, just know that you're going to get maybe a little bit more creative with what you're offering. Maybe you could do, Nick, you said that there is some, you know, new programs, 3% down, right? So no longer 3.5%. You can always issue closing cost credits to entice that buyer. I know there are some limitations with respect to credits that are allowed from a seller. What are those limitations, Nick?
Well, you get more credits when you do an FHA loan or a government loan. So if you're a veteran or you're doing any kind of government loan, you can get a much larger concession. You go up to 6%. If you're doing traditional Fannie Mae stuff, it's 3%. But for sellers, for closing costs, that is, you know, you have the other credits that are very standard and aren't considered in that equation, which is, you know, a credit for the roof or a credit for the repairs of the garage or whatever else might exist. Subprime stuff, they let you go up to 6% as well. So, but again, that's, you know, the market is let me just rewind. We're speaking on a general term here from like the East Coast to the West Coast about slowing and, you know, appreciation and depreciation and should you buy or should you not buy. But I do believe, and this is a personal opinion, you guys might chastise me or think I'm crazy, I do believe that no matter what city you're in, certain neighborhoods could crash. Meaning they have been oversold. And I don't mean residentially per se over commercial, but one or the other. Right now there's a neighborhood that I'm not going to mention in Chicago that I think is going to crash commercially. It's overexposed. It's really expensive. It's gone insane. The rent prices of a commercial storefront there is as high as they are right here on Michigan Avenue. And I think at some point you have to say, you're not on Michigan Avenue. And everyone's going to figure it out. And then that's going to, I don't want to say it's going to crash, but it's going to take a really nice drop back to reality. But I think that certain neighborhoods, and I've seen it even during our boom in 2005, there was some suburbs that there was a flood to get to for whatever it was, the grade school district had changed or whatever the case is, where these houses in 05. people were buying them at X amount of a price, and literally in 06 when the market was still flush and booming, they were starting to come down a little bit. So I think that you can see small pockets of neighborhoods anywhere in the country that might happen, so where the correction might be worse than the norm,
yeah.
But a crash, definitely not a crash.
I agree. It really is market specific, and markets have some small sub-markets. You even have neighborhoods that have small areas of a neighborhood that are their own little markets. I think, you know, Chicagoland on a whole, I think, is a very strong market. I mean, if you look at our price point as a big city or a big city in suburbs compared to like a San Francisco or an LA or a New York, we're pretty undervalued if you look at us compared to them.
33rd in the country out of all major cities per square footage, the average square footage. I mean, they take that from the south side all the way to the north side, but 33rd in average metropolitan square footage costs.
I didn't know that.
And we're the third biggest city.
And think about all the tech stuff coming in. You have Google. You know, I saw an article today about Amazon, Chicago trying to get Amazon's headquarters to Chicago, which would be humongous for Chicago if we could get the Amazon headquarters here.
Different trends to be watching.
I mean, ask Carla something. Dial 312-521-8589. Hello, Carla. You here?
I'm sorry.
Are you working?
I need to work because you and everybody decided to make modifications to our schedule, so I apologize.
I didn't know.
But can we go back to why we have George here? George, obviously, you're going to be selling your property. You're going to be listing your property, and you've probably heard me say exactly what we're saying here. Yes.
And your number one fan.
Yes.
And your number one
fan.
I'm
ready to go, right? All this information I'm getting right now, I'm ready to go and put it on the market. That's some good
information. Yes! See, I should bring all my clients in the studio.
Keep on the mic. Just keep near the mic.
Was this the plan?
This is the plan. This is
we bring now we bring potential buyers into the mod squad
or sellers,
and we make it happen right
keep
here.
It together.
This is a hard sell.
Whatever you do not mess up his name. No, but it's that ASMO segment, and we're asking you to ASMO if any of your legal and of course real estate related questions. So we decided to bring George in the studio to share his story, and actually it's a big question for you because he's been dealing with an association. So he actually has an association nightmare story that he wants to share with us, and I thought, instead of walking him through this off air, I thought it would be imperative for our listeners to kind of share the story, because I know a lot of people who are looking to sell condos are probably going to be on the same boat as George because of what has happened in our market.
So what's the big question? What happened?
The association, first of all, it's just a lot of different issues with getting the association to do things.
Repairs and maintain
especially
things.
Especially in the general areas, like the balconies and things like that. I've been asking to get the balcony painted since I've been there 9 years. Nothing.
9 years for a balcony paint job.
9 years for a balcony paint job.
Wow.
The hallways, not having a consistent maintenance schedule, it's a headache because, that adds value to your property. It's your place. It's where you lay your head. So.
Right.
You want it to at least the general areas to be nice, and when your friends and family come over, that's important to me. It is, especially if you're paying, towards the assessments.
Mm-hmm.
So my nightmare is basically I fell behind on my assessments at one point, transitioning between corporate and my startup, and I was communicating with the association about, can I get a copy of the ledger so I can see how much I'm behind so, I can catch up? And they never gave me a copy of the ledger. It took a few months went by and never got a copy of a ledger.
Now you're the actual homeowner, right?
I'm the actual homeowner.
Okay, go ahead.
So next thing I know, I start receiving letters in the mail from attorneys. Asking to say, hey, let me represent you in your eviction. I'm like, what? What's going on?
Wow.
So I never, even then I called the attorneys like, this can't be right because I haven't gotten any notification from my association, what's going on.
And you own the property.
And I own the property.
So, and your mortgage is current, I'm assuming.
My mortgage, yes, everything. Okay. So
he's in arrears for the assessment.
Yeah, I was arrears for assessments. And, I went back, so I said, let me open up the bylaws and see what, and then we have a process in the bylaws where it states that you're supposed to get notified from, the association. And then if you can't work out anything there, it's a remedy, right? A remedy would be they put a lien on your property or something like that. Yeah. That never happened. They went straight to eviction.
So the bylaws in most HOAs is exactly what's going to be kind of the guiding point of what you have to do next. So I'll touch on the eviction part before getting an HOA to actually do things you want them to do. When you started getting mail from other attorneys saying, I'm going to represent you, mm-hmm. that means somebody had actually filed an action in court. Because right. court
like a judgment
filings...
or a lien or something.
No, it's just a lawsuit, a complaint. So when right. a complaint gets filed in court, that's public knowledge. So mm-hmm. other attorneys who are just trying to market will reach out to a homeowner mm-hmm. and say, let me defend you in your eviction. Or if it's a foreclosure, they'll do the same yeah. thing. You have to get served with that lawsuit. So the first red flag is you are not physically served. So typically a sheriff will try to serve you. If they can't serve you, what'll happen is they'll get a special process server who will come serve you. So it seems like the HOA, for whatever reason, didn't do that step, because that would immediately give you notice that, hey, I got to go to court. There's a court date here. I have to do something.
So very similar to like any type of eviction where you have to get proper
exactly.
service. You can't just do
any
that.
Lawsuit. So if you sue somebody for anything, you have to give them notice. It right. has to be served upon them. Now, depending on what kind of lawsuit it is, there's different guidelines for service. But in a eviction lawsuit, they are going to first try to serve someone with a sheriff.
That's why I never answer the door.
Yeah, just
there's always somebody I don't know at the door with yeah. a piece
don't
of paper. I'm like, I'm going to go out the back.
Let me ask you a question, though. How many units are in this?
Yes.
It's six units.
Six okay.
And we're
units.
A small association, you know. We can't.
And
we,
is it self-managed or is it?
We self-managed, you know. And
I should be your paralegal here, Mo.
You're like bumping and setting everything perfect.
Yeah, right? we're we're self-managed, and I didn't receive the notification, the complaint. I actually didn't receive it until the Saturday before I had to go to court, which was Monday. So you know,
how did you receive it?
It did come through a server.
Okay.
But it came the Saturday before.
Okay. That's not enough notice technically. Yeah. Now, what I would do is, you know, if you pay the HOA past owed balance, they can't just evict you. So almost every bylaw says that if a homeowner falls behind on paying HOA dues, the HOA can do what's called a forcible case and go and try to evict. But if you then make the payments and you're current, they can't just evict you.
And that's usually a lot of months behind in order
yeah,
for them
and
really
it depends on the HOA, really.
That. I mean,
yeah.
you don't do it for someone that's usually, it sounds like a couple months behind.
But you're self-managed.
About six,
lack
seven
of
months.
Communication, there was
still
no maintenance.
7 months
yeah.
is not
there
enough to start
service.
Forcing someone out of the house they bought, in my
opinion.
You guys
opinion. Are self-managed, so who's the president who's kind of just being the... The person who's doing this.
I think that's the problem.
I mean, maybe we won't name his name.
Call Amino.
Yeah, we won't put his name. We won't put his name out on air.
Put his name out, but
he's somebody who lives in the building.
Yeah, and here's the crazy thing is we all know each other, right?
Right.
Which makes it more awkward.
It makes it more awkward. I play ball with this guy. Like we play ball. Like you could have just talked to me. Like what's going on, Joyce? Like
what the shit are you talking about? You play ball.
We play ball. Like we who?
Hey, you on my team? By the way, you're getting evicted tomorrow.
Exactly. You know. So that's what made it weird, because it was like I expected, you know, me asking him for the information, I expected him to just give it to me or come to me and say, hey, George, what you gonna do? This is what we're thinking. Can we work something out before we go through this? Because that added more fees to me, really, because I had to now that tacked
the legal
on
fees
the legal fees
stuff.
To
of
me.
Of course.
So it was really, I thought it was
but
unnecessary.
That's the thing, though. With a self-managed association, I can expect that everything could be resolved outside of court.
Yeah.
But just the fact that there was like lack of communication.
That's what it was.
Let's not play ball. Let's just talk about this because you haven't, you know, where's my money going? I want to see a budget.
Yes, exactly.
And there's no maintenance. Now you're talking about putting the property on the market and your realtor told you first thing is like, ooh, appearance.
Yes,
so, you know?
Exactly.
It's, you know, what's weird is you're in a situation here where it could have been resolved by talking, but it seems like there's whoever this president is has a complete disconnect. Is there anybody else that's on
stupid.
That makes up a board? Because what I tell people in self-managed buildings is once you buy in a building and you seem like the type of guy who's trying to take care of the building, try to make your way on the board so you can impact some change. So
or
if something
try not
needs to.
Be to.
Done,
it's
you can impact change. So I would look at the bylaws, call some sort of board meeting to hash out a whole lot of different things.
Mm-hmm.
They have to take your payment. And if they've misstepped the steps that they have in the bylaw, you definitely have a defense. But if you're behind, a judge is typically going to say, well, pay your HOA dues and your past owed dues, and this goes away.
Right.
I've rarely seen this happen in self-managed buildings, especially when you seem like the type of guy who's communicating with people.
Right.
It's usually an investor who's out of sight, out of mind.
And no one can find him. He's playing basketball with the president.
Right.
Come on.
It's a very strange thing.
So, which leads me real quick, because I got to like kind of follow a program here, which leads me to what we wanted to start doing now is a nitro question.
Okay.
Where we kind of hit the nitrous oxide here a little bit and ask them. You don't have to answer it right away. I think you already answered it. But I was going to ask you, what's the weirdest experience being in association as a homeowner that you've had to deal with? Is that music I'm hearing?
It's a nitro.
This is a very weird scenario.
It's very awkward.
The question was already premeditated, guys. So I'm like, but he just told me, he's like, well, I played basketball with the guy that...
it's awkward now. It's very awkward now because it's a small building.
Mo, you got one too, by the way. You have a nitro question.
I have a nitro
question.
What's one of the most awkward or
most embarrassing moments you've ever had to deal with on either yourself or a client in the middle of a transaction?
You don't have to answer it right now.
We could answer it 10, 15. I'll give you 15 minutes to think about it. What's the most embarrassing or awkward moment you've ever been put in?
Can I ask you one?
In real estate related, either yourself.
I already have mine,
or a client that you had to deal with or defend or whatever the situation was. All right.
So I got a good one.
Hold that for a little bit later and we'll go from there. But let's go back to. The issue with the association.
Are you currently in the legal process with them?
No, it's settled.
Solved?
Yeah,
okay.
we resolved everything.
But see, that's the thing. Like, that's why I wanted George to come and share his story. It's because a lot of people buy properties in a condo, and they don't understand that when you're buying a condo, you're actually buying a property with other people, because, you know, you're like, well, sometimes people are like, well, what are neighbors like? You know, like when you're buying in a single family category, they want to know, are there kids here or who's living next door? But with the condo, it's like the association is
it's
a real thing. It's
your
partner.
Yes,
it is such a partner in the whole situation. You have to analyze them like you are analyzing the brick and mortar of the building.
Could you imagine if I did not know this guy and I bought a condo and I saved all of my little pennies and I didn't buy any expensive shoes because I wanted to buy this condo and this is my neighbor?
Is your president.
Look at that. Oh my God. All right.
I am running for president.
Of the association, fool. Relax. Anyway, Mo.
Listen,
could you imagine what that would be like? It would be nightmarish.
You two, I think, would have got along fine.
No way.
You guys would have combined into one unit.
Next day,
you would have been BFFs.
Foreclosed.
I'll tell you a funny story real quick, though, because you just reminded me of something. So I bought in a 4-unit building. It was a really nice. They were condos technically, but they felt more like townhouses. There were 3 levels up, each one of them, and there was only 4 owners. And these were like back in 2001 in Bucktown, so they were like $500,000-$600,000 units. Really nice, and they had 4 units, and they had a president, a treasurer, and a secretary, and so 1 unit each had these titles, and I'm the 4th one. I'm like. So what am I? And they're like, nothing.
The emperor.
So I felt so left out.
Emperor.
How come you all got titles, but I'm the one that doesn't get a title? I wasn't even a part of it. I was the one person that wasn't a part of these.
Good.
Nick made business cards for his HOA.
I'm thinking we're going to spend some money
on
a new
with
pool.
Me. That's exactly what's
you're
going
like
on.
I'm the one
left out.
And all you wanted was just to clean the place up.
You know, let's just do stuff, you know, the right way.
Let's go back to the legality of this whole issue, right? I mean, with respects, I know that you're now like all settled. You caught up with all your payments. Your company's doing great, which kudos to you. You want to plug it? Easy Beauty?
Yes, Easy Beauty for professionals, stylists. Help you guys manage your business, manage your clients coming soon, first quarter. Help you generate more money.
George created an app for it, so I'm very proud of you. Much success to you.
Thank you.
Going back to the legality aspect of it, if the property were in fact vacant and somebody stopped making their payments, can't speak, the association can legally insert a tenant in there, collect rent, and make sure that rent's going towards the assessments and pay off their arrears, correct?
Correct. So I get a lot of calls for people who are going into foreclosure, and one of the first questions I get is, what do I pay? What do I not pay? And one of my first questions is, do you have an HOA? And if you have an HOA, make sure you pay that, because a foreclosure process in Illinois, Cook County especially, can take a very, very long time. But the eviction process is much shorter than the foreclosure process. And an HOA can just be very, very quick. They could wait 10 payments. They could wait 1 payment, 2 payments. Depends on the bylaws and how aggressive they are. But definitely make sure your HOAs are paid, because they can put a tenant in there to offset.
There's nothing you could do about it except, obviously,
pay it back.
And it's true. Like, even if you are in a financial hardship, you have to maintain that, because it makes it for a really hard or a difficult sale, right? When you're trying to sell it, like, so now we're fine, right? But now we have the issues of like the lack of maintenance in the exterior, and then you're wondering, where does your money go? Can you fire an association? Can you fire that specific president?
So you don't have a property manager that you can really fire. I think you have to collectively with the rest of the board members get together and have a real communication. And maybe I've seen this happen where somebody will bring in an expert to say, guys, this, I suggest you guys do that. So you bring in a Carla who says, I've seen this happen on a lot of my...
Association therapy?
Yeah, basically, that's what you'll be. You'll be an association therapist. But guys,
most people need therapists, Nick.
Go ahead, Blum. Go ahead, Blum.
we have this much in reserves. These are things we need to do. Let's build a plan, because a well-run HOA that's professionally managed has plans for the future. It seems like this HOA runs a little bit by the seat of their pants, which is not a really intelligent thing to do, because it is your home. Carla's right. You share it with other people. I have a house, and if something breaks, I'm stuck paying for the whole thing myself. Yeah. Right. You guys are...
Those hallways are yours.
Yours. You're paying percentage of that. But I would, because you're self-managed, just send a letter, knock on some doors, talk to them, get a meeting going, and then look at what you guys have in your reserve pool, get quotes for all the things you want to do, just be proactive, and then bring in the HOA therapist, Carla, to sit down and have a discussion.
Right,
and
more importantly, I wouldn't go into a sit down, though, and call it therapy or renegotiation or whatever it is, you want more time or whatever the circumstances, without some form of a deposit on the problem. So if you're still in arrears, don't go in there empty-handed. I'd go in there with good faith saying, I have, for example, if you're in arrears 7 months, I have 3-4 months right here, right now, but I still need some help in like helping me get back on track and some of the things that I do want to see change as well and getting involved. Mm-hmm. The other thing is, it sounds like you might be selling a property sooner or later.
Yeah, yeah.
And he hired an amazing realtor, may I add.
Oh, one of most people. Good. Yeah. So
I really hate you all the time.
You're going to get me kicked off the show.
That would be something. I don't want to freak you out.
Excuse you?
That one got you. I don't want to freak you from buying another condo because you got a bad taste of the situation. But the reality is this. You should look into the association if you are going to buy another condo, because you might move into a building that's 300 units or another one that's 6 units. But you want to see what they have in reserve so that you don't have to wait 9 years to get your balcony painted. Mm-hmm. You want to see what they have in reserve so that, freshening up of the carpet and painting the hallways isn't an endeavor that would bankrupt the association reserve. So,
that's really great advice.
And a lot of investors, a lot of lenders won't let you even finance traditional loans without at least a 10% budget in place, meaning, anything that can happen, they have at least 10% cash on hand. Mm-hmm. So
in the reserves account.
If you're below that, we'll just say no to the loan because it protects you. Oh, wow. And our asset, which is your property that we own with you now as a lender, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So you got to look at that stuff when the next time around.
And your situation is rare. I don't want people to think buying a condo, you're going to always have the situation. It seems like you have a unique president who's not doing the right stuff. And
what did you do
rare.
To him, George?
He dunked on him. Yeah. He dunked on him, right?
You're that's a lot better than
him. I hit him with a few crosses.
You crossed him over. And now he's like, screw that guy. He's getting a notice tomorrow.
He's on one of those YouTube videos where he does a crossover, the guy falls over, and now he's pissed.
All the friends are like, oh!
He's got a million views on YouTube, and now he's really upset.
He's upset about the app. Did you tell him he couldn't be a silent investor on your tech?
Who?
Your startup? The president of the association.
Nick is right. I hit him with a few ankle breakers.
Right, there it is.
It goes back to sport with Nick. Please ignore him. I do have a question from one of most.
Oh, here we go.
Matt Rosen, thank you so much for following us and tuning in this afternoon. Mo, I know you follow a lot of motivational material. What is your favorite inspirational quote, and what color are your eyes? Are you available? I just added the last day.
I've been staring at him the whole time.
We have like this little gap where Nick and I can make eye contact here. They are Hazel. Matt's teasing me a little bit because my office has this joke that I have this favorite quote, and I say it all the time, so everybody teases me about my favorite quote, and it's a goal without a plan is just a wish. So I do a lot of coaching in the office about goal setting, planning, and it's my favorite quote, and they tease me about it a lot, but it's true. I was a big guy who a big reader into set goals and you're going to be more successful, or set make your goal plan for the year, make your plans and just write it down, and that's immediately going to make you successful. I think that's BS. I think writing down your goals alone doesn't make you successful. You have to have a plan to get there. So it's like if I said I want to lose 50 pounds this year, you guys would look at me and be like, whoa, that's like a big, it's a big goal. But if I said I want to lose a pound a week, you'd be like, no big deal. Stop eating tacos and you'll lose a pound a week. Add 1 pound a week for a year, that's 52 pounds. So I tell everybody, whatever goal you have to break it down into small measurable goals. Add the small victories up. I call it winning the week. If you hit your goals for the week, you've won the week. Add up 52 wins, you'll win your yearly goal. But if you just set a goal or you write it down, that's not going to get you to success. No. So they're teasing me with that in my office right now because they're probably laughing because they give me a hard time.
But they're absolutely right.
It's my favorite quote.
Everyone is in goal frenzy on January 2nd.
They are.
Everyone's like, this is the year I'm losing weight. This is the year I'm going to make more money than ever. This is the year I'm buying five properties. I mean, they all come up with something. And by February 3rd,
they're done.
They're back to living and breathing like on a regular basis. The gym is literally empty on February 3rd. You know that. I'm a gym goer. You're a gym goer. And you
go to the gym?
You want me to do a plug? I can say I own one. But
you're going to.
You hate going in from January 1st till like maybe it's more like February 15th. And come February 15th, it's back to normal again. What happened to all those people with all these aspirations?
Let's go back to that. You own a gym?
Yes, I do.
Can you take off your shirt to see if you work out?
It's going to cost you.
And I need some ratings here.
And you don't have that kind of money.
George, can we pull together? Whatever. You don't work out and you don't own a gym,
so
relax.
Right on.
Thank you, Mo. I really appreciate that. I love inspiration, and I think that that's great. I mean, unlike Nick, you're a very optimistic, nice person. So I'm so glad to change the energy in the studio. Going back to our association nightmares, of course, you can always call us at 312-521-8539. I'm sorry, 8589 if you have a question for Mo. But I want to go back to that advice that actually our lender in the studio shared with us because, you know, he's a lender. But as a realtor.
He could be kind of smart once in a while.
As a realtor, I always say that when we're shopping for a property, as soon as you enter, right, you're entering a condo building, you start to look at the carpeting and the stairs, the painting. Is it distressed or is it cleaned? Because that's going to be a sign of the association. Are they proactive with maintaining the property? You know, is the brick tuck pointed? Because eventually that's going to be a special assessment. So then you're calling your lender and you're saying, hey, I want to make an offer on this property and I have X budget. But then you're not taking into consideration, you know, the special assessments or the upcoming special assessments because you're not looking at the whole thing. What advice do you give our listeners with respect to understanding budgets and understanding meeting minutes and going back to making sure this is a healthy association?
You're 100% spot on. When I walk into a building, I look at it and I'm like, well, they haven't taken care of any of this. So one, it makes me think maybe they're not proactive, or two, they just don't have the budget for it because their reserves are depleted. So I say look at the reserves, but also look at a budget. So a good HOA will plan what they're going to do for at least 12 months. And if you look at meeting minutes, they'll have discussions about, hey, we're thinking of redoing all the carpets, or hey, we're thinking of painting, you know, the hallways, or we're thinking of doing a roof. And sometimes with that comes a quote, or you can reasonably deduce like, hey, painting this hallway is going to cost this much. If there's not a lot of money in the reserves, yes, a special assessment might happen. And special assessments are going to happen. I don't want people to think special assessments are the most negative thing, because if you have $5,000 in your reserve account and you have a $10,000 bill you got to pay, there's four or five of you have to figure out how to pay that. Just like in a house, if my basement flooded during one of the bad storms, that's my responsibility, just like it's everybody's responsibility in the building. But you should at least be aware of that stuff happening. So if you are on a tight budget and you're buying at the absolute max that you can buy, $200-$300 a month on a special assessment might put you in a tough spot. So like Carla said, just make sure your realtor and your attorneys are looking at the reserve, the budget, and then also the meeting minutes. So do some due diligence up front so you don't have issues.
It's going to be a long, boring review period. But remember, you have 5 days after you execute a contract where you have the opportunity to review these documents. And if you have any questions about the association, you ask away, or at that point you decide, you know what, it's not a healthy association, so I'm going to go ahead and rescind my contract. Because that's what the attorney review period is. You have to exercise it. With respects to you saying your house flooded, I mean, with the association, you guys also carry an umbrella policy. You have to understand what's being covered, because most in most cases, right, Nick, for condos, your insurance is going to cover walls inside. Depends if it's fee simple with the condo association, but it's going to cover walls inside and then everything exterior is going to be covered by the association's insurance. And so as a lender, you ask people to get like renter's insurance policies per se.
Right.
So you have to know what is being covered through the association. I mean, your assessments can go a long way, right? Maintenance, upkeep, and then, of course, insurance.
But again, don't be scared. You just had a bad situation. And you'll be
fine.
Yeah,
I don't think
fine.
It's for me. Though.
You're a little bit more prepared next time around.
I really don't.
But speaking of.
Don't convince him because then he's not going to want to sell. What am I going to do with myself?
He's going to sell. He's already not liking the association, so he's going to have to sell sooner or later.
Association sucks, George. You got to sell.
Let's go back to the Nitro question. I think you already answered it, but if you have something better, what was the most awkward situation or weird situation?
That's it. Being in that situation where it's a lack of communication, it's a small building, so you see three quarters of the, you know, my neighbors are on the board,
right?
And I see them all the time.
<It's insane>.
So I'm the only one me and another tenant are the only ones that's not on the board. So now that this has happened, it's really awkward at meetings because we have our meetings in someone else's house. So I have to go into the unit of one of the board members that did this. So it's really awkward. So I have to, you know.
So the lesson learned, don't cross over the president of the association.
Yeah,
ever
don't
again.
Cross him
don't
over.
Cross him over. Don't break his ankle. Mo, we're going to you. Awkward situation, Nitro question.
So,
most awkward or embarrassing moment you've ever had, either yourself or with a client or
if
both.
If you followed me long enough on Facebook, you know that for a while I was having issues tearing my suit pants. So I was getting custom fitted suits.
So then you're going to take off your shirt today?
Yeah, no. I'm not in shape either. No shirts.
He's ripping pants, girl. I don't think he's ready to do that. Go ahead.
So I'm built like
a T-Rex. The Mod Squad, it's a complete show now. It's a different show.
It's completely changed the Mod Show.
Yeah.
I'm a T-Rex. I have these like short little arms and big neck, so I have to get custom fitted clothes. So
just like Rocco.
Yeah. So my pants tore a couple times. And one time I was sitting in court. And if you've ever been in court, the room is full of attorneys and people waiting to go up, and there's a judge up front, and I was getting ready to go up for a hearing.
Oh, my gosh.
I sat down, and I heard the – and my pants tore.
Front or back? Back?
Back.
Oh, jacket long enough to cover it.
No, not long enough to
cover it. Oh, this is great.
So I'm like, what do I do? So I actually went out in the hall nervous,
serious?
And I asked an attorney. I was like, listen, this is a weird question. How bad is the tear in my pants? And he's like, it's pretty bad. So I took my
white underwear, or dark underwear, no underwear, commando.
Dark, yeah. Thank God, not commando. So I took my my bag and I loosened the strap and I threw it over my back and I had it far enough down that it would cover a little bit of it. And I had to go up and do a hearing. And the whole time I'm up there, I'm like, the whole room can tell my pants are slid all the way down. That was bad. I don't get embarrassed easy. I have pretty thick skin, but
right.
That was bad.
Did you win the case?
I did win the hearing.
Oh, the judge felt sorry for you.
The judge thankfully couldn't see it. Everybody behind me had a
this
full
poor
show.
Attorney can't afford pants.
Oh, I was embarrassed. That was bad.
What about you, Nick?
I wasn't on the spotlight.
Come
question's
on.
Not about me.
A Nitro question.
I didn't have 15 minutes to think about it. I have a ton of stories, but
you'd be enough airtime with you. I do have someone on the air. Do we, Craig?
It's
yes, producer.
Mom.
It's probably your mom.
Mrs. Donka, how are
Hi,
you?
Hi, please state your name and tell us the reason for your call.
What's up, Mod Squad? This is Grocco. I just wanted to welcome Mo to the show. I heard my name there.
Hey, Grocco.
Can we get anyone over 5 foot on this show?
Excuse you, I'm 5'4".
Crossover king, you're tall.
5'4",
yeah,
Carla, on record.
With your heels on. What's up, dude?
Hey, Mo, I just wanted to say welcome to the show, man. Happy to have you on. I got to get back to work here, but I wanted to give you a big welcome. And I'm looking forward to seeing you on air here shortly, okay?
Thanks, man.
You don't have a legal question for our co-host today?
I like that part where you said go back to work. Bye.
Him and I are going to go suit shopping together.
Yeah, right?
You're terrible. You know that?
Yes.
You're so mean.
Yes.
Oh, gosh.
Yes.
All right, go ahead.
This is what I do.
Do you then.
That was a Nitro question. He answered it. The suit and the pants is a good story.
You just hung up on poor Grocco.
He said he had to go.
You said, go back to work.
Do you not listen to him?
The meanness.
He's like, I have to go. I just want to say hi. I got to go. Bye.
Welcome back. Welcome to the Mod Squad.
Thank you.
Mo.
This is
it's
fun.
A dysfunctional family.
Yeah.
I'm family. That's darkness over there.
Darkness.
Like, I'm all like unicorns and rainbows. Yay.
Yeah,
and
living in a fantasy world.
Anyway, go on. Okay, well, I'm excited that, you know, George is going to be selling his property. Of course, there's always opportunities.
You have no choice but to sell your property now. I hope you know that.
Yeah. He's going to be selling his property. But again, you know, there's, you have to understand what's going on, because if someone were in the middle of it, you know, you get so overwhelmed when you're getting, you know, attorneys to call you and you're like, how do they find my number? This is like, where is the privacy, right? Like you said, information is available. It was out there. But now the property, you know, there's been appreciation. So you've made a
lots of it.
Great neighborhood. So you're going to be selling. And are you going to be buying a condo next or a single family? What do you do?
I'm going to probably rent for a while.
So
what's the advice on that, I guess?
I mean, my honest opinion.
You're in the wrong show right now. Yeah. You're down the hall.
Wait, what?
Down
I
the
was
hall
counting on a sale and a purchase.
What's
guys,
the advice?
Give
me some advice,
please.
On that.
Like,
I'm in between this transition. This is tough for me.
Listen, if you're renting just to figure out your next step, that's fine.
I tell people,
renting right now, rental rates are so high, mortgage rates are so low. It just doesn't make sense. Back in the day when if you took like a condo and you're like, okay, this condo costs $2,500 to own with mortgage, taxes, assessments, but it's $1,700 to rent it and I can get a much nicer place for less money. That may have made sense, but today it's just the rental rates are so high and you can buy places with such little money down, do lender credits.
Right.
I tell people, if you're not planning on staying, if you're planning on staying put in an area for more than 3 years, it makes sense to be a homeowner, not a renter.
One thing about renting, there is no refunds.
Yeah.
Never will be.
I always say somebody's paying a mortgage. Whether you're paying rent, you're paying somebody's mortgage. So it makes sense to pay your own.
What do you mean by that? There are no refunds.
Every dollar, you know, people are like, oh, you know, I can rent this and that. And, you know, they have their reason to it. Renting is a tool that is temporary, like Mo said.
Yeah.
Sometimes you don't know which neighborhood you want to live in. You want to test this one out, go to that one. That's totally understandable. But when you are when you're a homeowner, at least it's kind of giving you a forced equity, forced savings account, if you will. You have some tax deductions, the whole nine yards. But when you're a renter and you've paid that thing on time for 5 years and it's time for you to leave, there is nothing you get back other than a handshake and thanks for being a good tenant.
Nothing so builds
nothing,
wealth.
Nothing.
Bigger.
Is your return on that money.
Nothing builds wealth bigger than property ownership. I mean, we had Lawrence on a few weeks ago and we were talking about it. And property ownership outperforms the market every time. And it just, over time, property ownership is going to make people more wealthy. Somebody put up a Facebook post a couple days ago that said 90% of millionaires made their millions being property investors. Which is a staggering fact.
That's a staggering fact that I didn't know. But I did catch one person telling me that owning a home versus renting, that whole rich dad, poor dad theory about how it's smarter economically to rent. And we don't have a lot of time left, so we're going to try and get out of this quicker. And he tells me he's renting himself. And I'm like, and how much are you paying in rent? He said $15,000 a month.
Wow.
He's renting a really nice place. Right?
That's a really nice
place.
It's
a really nice place right over there. So I'm just like, Jesus Christ, like 155, and I'm like, so not to get into what you do and all that stuff, but you don't own any property. He's like, no, I own property. How do you think I pay for this rent? Okay, well, you're hypocritical to what you just said. So he bought property. He did put a few hundred grand down, has cash flow coming in. He's got multiple properties everywhere. He just rents where he lives. He rents his owner-occupied. But the reality is he's still making his money in owning real estate.
I mean, if you're paying $15,000 a month in rent, you're on a level where he's living right now is probably just a lifestyle decision.
Yeah.
And it may change for him in a year or 2 years.
Right.
He's on a level where I guess you could do that. But it's nice to know that he made that money buying
real
estate.
The point was that
else.
He was calling me out saying he doesn't own a house he lives in.
Right.
But at the end, when you get deeper into the conversation, he's got a bunch of investment properties paying his rent, which doesn't feel so bad.
No.
You know, it's like, well, it's not like it's coming out of his pocket. Well, it is, but, you know.
Should go throw a
party.
So,
nitro question for George. Are you going to sell and buy something, or are you going to buy
it? That's not the nitro.
Pressure cooker.
You know, George, you can ignore that. The nitro question period is over.
Excuse me.
She doesn't have authority to pick the nitro. You don't have the nitro button. Nobody gave you the button.
I'm going to take you and Mo to all my listing presentations so I can get my clients to understand what they need to
do. You can't even reach the nitro button, so let it go.
You need to stop.
All right, we got to wrap this thing up. Mo. It's been a great show, but give us contact information on yourself where people can get a hold of you, and obviously we'll see you in another week or two.
Who is Sheena Dadka?
It's my little sister.
Hi, Sheena. Aww. She says happy birthday.
Oh, thank you. Saturday.
When's your birthday?
Saturday.
What?
What?
Yeah. It's a party. You should have told me.
I'm going to a Luke Bryan concert. I'm a big country music. I'm like a brown cowboy. I'm a big country music fan.
Oh, wow. Country music. That took it to the next level. I love country music, actually.
Really?
Mm-hmm. One thing you didn't know about me.
Mo, how do we get a hold of you?
My cell phone number is 847-431-6222. I give my cell phone out to even my legal clients, so it's out there. You can reach me on my real estate email at mo@mainstreetreg.com or my law email, my last name, which is tough to spell, dadkhahlaw@gmail.com. But call me, 847-431-6222. I'm up so late every night, you can call, text.
Awesome.
George.
Like dad.
Yes. George, I want to thank you for coming out, sharing
thank
your
you
story.
For having
Good
me.
Luck with that.
Thank
I'm
you.
Sure it's going to work itself out.
Great
and,
advice. Thank you, guys.
Don't lose your faith. You could buy another condo. You'll be fine. But
George, I have faith in your realtor. I think you've made a great decision in who you hire to sell your property.
Self-awareness is all that matters around here. I want to thank you all for listening to the Ask Mo show. Welcome again, Mo, to the Mod Squad, and we will see you guys next week. You can follow this show and all of our other shows on our YouTube channel at Market Overdrive, as well as Facebook.com/Market Overdrive. Go to our podcast, WGN Radio Podcast, and you can look up the Market Overdrive podcast there and just drop us into your phone on a weekly basis. And last but not least, of course, you can go to our website, www.marketoverdrive.com. 2 o'clock next Thursday. We'll be back. See you then. Thanks.
Thank you, Mo, for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Of course.